Off the Ball Rugby.
I suppose we're always trying to learn how you make the game better. A red card is a serious act of foul play. If it's a serious act of foul play, there's no place in the game for 20 minutes.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
I went out to Greystones to meet up with Mayo inter-county footballer Padraig O'Hara, and we had the interesting challenge of jumping into the ocean on an October afternoon in a bid to emphasise the importance of getting out and doing things for your mental health, as well as talking about them.
You are somebody who loves the sea. When it comes to how you feel, when it gives you all this energy, this is where you love to be.
Absolutely, yeah, sure. Like, we're blessed over in Ballinacht. We're surrounded by it. So spend an awful lot of time in it. I see huge value in it. Especially this time of year when the bodies are getting beat up week in, week out. It's like, try and get to the sea together, collectively, yeah, after a session. And if not, I just kind of go anyway during the week.
Was that always the case when you were growing up, that like sport makes me feel so much better and that's why it has to be important to me?
Yeah, I think it's unbelievably important. It's been kind of it's been part of my life the whole way through from day one, be it individual sport or team sport. Like, I work in youth justice too, so I work with a lot of young people, and one of the key areas that we look at, education being one, but the other one, it would be activity and sport or something that connects you with the community. So you've got another peer group or you've got some activity, something weekly that's kind of bringing you to the table again and keeping you involved with people.
Literally here.
Let's go walking by, deep in conversation. Jeez, it actually looks class, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Yeah, it looks fantastic. Right, Padraig, so we are looking at a fairly choppy ocean here. We're about to hop in here. This is your home.
You're looking forward to it, eh?
Oh, cannot wait. My favourite place to be. So we're going to hop into the sea. We're going to hop into a sauna afterwards, have a chat. A perfect Wednesday morning, I think.
A perfect Wednesday morning. You do get the kind of jitters, though. Like, no matter how many times you're in it, you know what's waiting for you, and it's the cold. But, like, there's beauty in it, but there's a good 90 seconds to 2 minutes of pain in it, too, so...
Mike Kennelly was talking about this thing that sports people have called his body armor, that men have quite a lot. Is that something that rings a bell with you? Is it something that you resonate with, the shield that you put up?
To get through
kind of life as well as anything else?
Yeah, I think everybody does, like, and so some people you might call it resilience or whatever, and like some of us have a lot, some don't. But there's things in everybody's armour, you know. I think no matter if you're an elite sports star or you're not, like, it doesn't really matter. It's, you know, times come where life is really challenging. And that armour that you're talking about gets challenged. And you find gaps in it. I think it's important then that you're aware of them.
Yeah.
And that you know how to kind of battle through when you need to.
It's probably something that's present for any man, as much as it is in a sports sense. But there's probably an added sense of it in a GA dressing room, or am I being stereotypical there?
I don't know. I think, like, men's health obviously is a big point. It's undeniable, I suppose, that there's significant challenges to face everybody, but men in particular. We lose an awful lot of men to suicide yearly, and I suppose the mental health crime is nearly undeniable at this stage. And I think the GAA is a place where, I suppose, you're fortunate enough to be around a lot of guys, peers. Like, the GAA dressing room can range from, in our own dressing room, the guys 38, 39, all the way down to 17, 18. And I think there's a lot of value in that.
But generally, do you think we're happier, we're a bit more hopeful when we're 17, 18 than we are when we turn 30?
Yeah, I think that innocence leaves us even earlier. Do you know, as you start to get into your teen years and society dictates kind of what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And do you know, I think there's a lot of hard stuff out there, and it does harden us, and maybe we need that to get through. But that innocence, you'd really miss it.
That's bowing to societal pressure and all that. You strike me as the type of fella who doesn't bow to it at all.
I, just like everybody else, still worry about other people's opinions and all of that side of things too. It does exist, but a big part of me tries to be true to myself, like, and I spent all of my teen years definitely trying to fit in. Him came over from England, didn't have a whole pile of friends, acted the man, you know, acted up to what I think people want to see. And I still think we all do that a bit, but geez, I do spend my time trying to be myself.
Yeah,
definitely. And like, I think that's the only space you'll ever be happy in anyway, you know.
Sometimes that's easier said than done for people.
Definitely.
How did you manage to find that?
I think it comes from confidence in yourself, like, and that self-belief. And I think you slowly build it.
You gotta get the head down, 100%.
Right, how are you feeling after that?
Good, actually, yeah. The chin is rattling, the teeth are rattling, and I'm still a bit shaky, but I like that all the time after. Yeah. It's actually not too bad over here, yeah. He says, with the shaky teeth, but try that now, mid-December, January, over on the West Coast.
If you weren't an intercounty footballer, do you think you'd make it as a sea swimmer?
No, definitely not.
Once I was rescued from the freezing water, we thankfully had a hot sauna just up the hill. And when our teeth stopped chattering, we had a great location. Continue the chat.
She is in sight.
This is nice, by the way. This, like, feeling of not dying, and we can actually have a conversation where our jaws aren't going 100%. When it comes to having these conversations, especially around November, and specific to the conversations you've had publicly in the past and with the work that you do, how's that received in a place like Ballina at the moment? It seems that the country as a whole is moving forward, but obviously there is a stereotype that there's the countryside and then there's the non-countryside, and maybe in the country the conversations aren't happening as easily or flowing as easy.
I suppose I can only talk from my side of things and what I see. And I think we're moving in a really good direction. I think the educational piece is probably the most important. When I look at it, when we look at it from a mental health perspective, I work with Mayo Mental Health Association, and a lot of what we do is education, because I think that's where, you know, the real change lies. Understanding our mental health, understanding what works, what doesn't work, what challenges look like, how we face them, where the help is, where the support is. Because I don't think it matters how tough a person you are or whatever. Life knocks you back, and you've probably had your own knocks, and I've had mine. And you know, you rely on other people, you rely on services, you rely on friends and family and community to kind of get you through those things. So I think educating people in that area is probably the most important.
You mentioned services, mental health services. Where do you think we are as a country on that front at the moment?
Not bad. Not terrible, I suppose. I don't want to... It's a lot of negativity around that. Also, there are big gaps in our services. In fairness to the government, they have continued to increase funding in mental health services. There's a lot we can do. There is still a lot to be done. And I'll go back to it again. I think big focus, the really big focus is education, information. Because we are losing a lot of people to suicide every year. We have increased rates of anxiety, depression and all of these things, but the services that are there are supposed to try and support that. There's a lot said about the increase in anxiety and depression in young people. And we look at the world that they're coming into. They talk about social media, talk about all of them additional pressures, the stresses of life. And I don't know if you can change a whole lot about that. Do you know, we talk about it an awful lot, but I don't know if there's a whole pile of space to change that. That's just... the nature of what life is now and what they're kind of growing up into. So I think it's more important that we try and give them the skills to go out and deal with them things instead of just complaining about, I suppose, the issues of the day.
It feels that people are better equipped now than they were, say, when you and I were kids. But at the same time, they have a lot more challenges now. You mentioned social media, and there is this whole other beast of things that they have to come to terms with, and parents have to come to terms with on behalf of their kids as well.
Well, when I grew up anyway, what were your worries really? Like, if they weren't on the street you grew up in or in the town, you didn't really I don't think you've seen any further than that, you know. You just wondered about what the lads are doing down the street or what was happening in your neighbourhood or area. You weren't aware or as concerned, or you didn't have the access to the information of what was going on, you know, in the States or all of these things that are going on in the world. I don't think anybody really gave a whole pile of care. We didn't have the influencers or information of, oh, what they're wearing or what you should be doing, or none of that really mattered. I remember the influence we had was like the Canterbury pants out of Elbrus. That's what everybody wanted, you know. That was as far as it really went, like. And I think all of that weighs on young people now. They feel like they have to be going on holiday where people go on holiday. They have to be wearing the shoes everybody's wearing. They have to be involved in, you know, all of these things they see online, and like, we just didn't have that.
Yeah.
And that pressure didn't exist.
We were having a conversation in the sea about the armour, the necessary armour, especially as sports people, that some people suspect that you have, in general, all sports people, actually making that decision to seek help. Is that harder, I wonder, because you almost have that high ground of, I am the man, I have this very, very successful athletic career?
Yeah, it is. It is. I work in mental health services, as I said. I have good knowledge and understanding of the system and how it works. I have beat the drum myself, telling people to go and get help, make sure you ask, you know all the things, what to do, how to do it. And then when it came to me, I was my actions were quite poor. I struggled for a good long time on my own and refused to say anything to anybody. Certainly wasn't going to open up to my close family or partner or any of that, which I should do, which everybody should do. But it was very, very hard, yeah, because I felt like people would look at me as kind of an emblem of that resilience piece of, he's a tough fella, you know, he's one of them tough guys that gets on with it. And that's kind of how I see myself too. So it was nearly an attack on yourself to say, oh, you're not able, or you do need help. And once I got over that hump and spoke to a close friend, this game, changed everything. It's so empowering, because when you need help and you're afraid to ask because you're afraid of the kind of reaction or response, but yet the reaction and response is always really positive. And then the more I thought about it afterwards, it made no sense at all, because if you were to turn to me now and ask me for help, like, the first thing I'd want to do is give you that help. And I think that's the same for all of us. So when we're on the side of giving help, it's really easy, and we do it in a heartbeat. I'd do it for a stranger. Whereas when you need help, for some reason, part of you thinks that people don't want to help you. But it's quite the opposite, you know? And I think everybody wants to help. So if you do need it, just ask, because you'd be the first person to give it.
What was the shakiness?
I just didn't know what was wrong with me. Something's wrong, but you might not know what it is. Maybe there's a light going off on the dash saying, you know, change the oil, but you're like, that'd be grand. And then all of a sudden the engine pops, so you're like, okay, there's definitely something wrong. So
you mentioned the panic attack there, and you just want to be in control, right? And that's something that's completely out of your control. There's no exact thing about, you know, you haven't grown up with these conversations about, this is what you do if you have panic attack, like, this is what you do if you have a cough or something like that. Yeah. And I presume, don't want to speak to you, but I presume that lack of control is something that just makes that a very profound moment for you.
It was a very weird moment, yeah. Especially because you're not, does it sound stupid, maybe you're not expecting it, I don't know. And then also you don't know what it is, maybe. And I've never struggled before. Like, I've never had issues like that before. I'm a social butterfly, you know, I was always fairly okay. And then it just hit really, really weird, and I couldn't understand it, and I just simply didn't have the answers to it, you know. I was fortunate enough that it was a once off. I think it was like a warning shot. I think, you know, I think your body or part of you is designed to protect you, kind of said, here, enough is enough, or whatever. Maybe it was the warning shot I needed. After that, as I said, I kind of ended up with counselling and stuff like that, and worked away through different bits and pieces, and like, ever since, I suppose, never, you know, I don't think I'll ever return to that space again. I've never felt that kind of way again since, so kind of all is good, yeah. Thankfully.
One other thing that you mentioned there, obviously that conversation with your close friend is obviously a significant moment in your life, but you also said before that you wouldn't be saying it to your family or your close friends and stuff like that. I'm not sure it's just me, but it is a kind of a well-thought thing that
do you know, it is a hard thing. Like, I don't want to be seen to be what you might describe as weak or damaged or challenged or struggling. Like, it's just those are the words that are attributed to him, maybe, and that's not how you want to be seen. But like, I'll say it forever, and there's no weakness in it. Like, there's no weakness in it at all. And like, it's one of the most empowering things you'll ever do. Once you said it out loud, once you've heard it a couple of times, once you've made peace with it, like, things only start to get better then. So like, you know, you've taken the power back and you begin to work on yourself, and you're only kind of start, feels like you're at the bottom of the ladder and you're only going up. Like, if there is somebody listening today or whatever, and they are in that situation, or they are struggling to open up, or, you know, if you can muster up the power, the courage to do it, you'll thank yourself, you know, forever.
It's amazing to have this conversation with you, Paul. Thanks so much for everything. One last follow-up question I have to ask. You talked about the perceptions and all the things that we thought were cool when we were kids. Did you end up buying the Canterbury pants?
Absolutely. I destroyed them. They used to get destroyed. But they were essential. You were a captain of the cool kids there when you got the big tick.
All right, thanks a million.
Thank you. Cheers. Great crack.
This Movember, grow a Mo. Move for Movember. Post or Mo your own way. All to save lives. Sign up now at Movember.com.
Off the Ball Daily.